This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk, our final show of the week. We had four shows this week, which was an off-season high. Our next Nissan Dodger Talk will be next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, but we are with you tonight until 8 o'clock, and it is you and me on this Friday night for the most part of the show. Coming up at 7:40, we will talk to James Mims, who is the creator of the Mims Bands. And what I'm talking about are those wristbands where you had the image of the player on the wristband. You saw guys like Nolan Arenado wearing them this year. You've seen Howie Kendrick wear them this year. And we're going to talk to James about how that all started. I first recognized it when Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis used to wear it back in the 80s. And those two guys were trendsetters when it comes to fashion and baseball. They were the first two guys with the high-top cleats. They were some of the best-dressed baseball players and had a lot of style in the limitations of a baseball uniform. So we'll talk to James about that. And there's actually a really cool autograph signing going on tomorrow at Frank and Son surrounding the Mims wristbands. Dusty Baker, Kenny Landro, Eric Davis, and Howie Kendrick will be signing autographs at Frank and Son's tomorrow from 11 to 1. And whoever gets an autograph will also get one of those wristbands that are called Mims Bands. So we'll talk to James about that around 7:40. But we have a lot to get to tonight. Coming up in our next segment, I'll let you know when I believe the Dodgers and Chase Utley will make it official as far as him coming back. But speaking of signings, there's been a lot of talk today about the lack of signings in Major League Baseball this offseason, and we've discussed it. And to be honest with you, every time I talk to a player, that's a topic of discussion, and I believe it's like that as well with other reporters and broadcasters. This is something that you can't just ignore, the fact that there are so many impact free agents still available on the market. Over 130 free agents still on the market, and a lot of teams not pulling the trigger, which prompted tweets from three different agencies to really go harsh against Major League Baseball and kind of bring this to the forefront and stop talking about it behind the scenes and make it a conversation that everybody has to deal with, including the commissioner of baseball, who had to respond to it on the final day of the owners' meetings here in Los Angeles. CAA, the head of CAA, the head of Aces, and Josh Kusnick, another agent, all tweeted out basic prepared statements and voicing their displeasure and concern with the fact that owners are not spending money this offseason. And the only thing I could say to all these guys is what I've been saying all offseason long. Look in the mirror and blame yourself. The players have only themselves to blame for the situation they're in right now. They had a golden opportunity just last year before the season began during the collective bargaining agreement negotiations to find a way to change some of the things that are problematic and were problematic even before this offseason. Instead, they chose to talk about international draft, more days off, more seats on a bus in spring training, and better food in the clubhouse instead of tackling the real issues that have been fought for so many years and so many players sacrificing seasons to be able to get it to a certain point and resisting a salary cap, and these guys completely ignored it. What they have now is really a salary cap, and it's in the form of a luxury tax threshold. We've been talking about Yu Darvish wanting to come back to the Dodgers for 3 months now. The fact is, the only way the Dodgers can bring Yu Darvish back is if they clear some money, because they don't want to be a repeater offender for this luxury tax threshold for year six. And that makes perfect business sense. If you're the Dodgers, why would you want to do that? But if it wasn't there, I believe Yu Darvish would already be in a Dodger uniform, and also the Yankees would be competing to sign some of these other free agents that are out there right now, including Jake Arrieta. You know, I'm not just talking because it's my own opinion. I'm talking because I've spoken to players all offseason long, including this afternoon. And basically what they told me was, is that this is their own fault, and there is growing dissatisfaction and unhappiness with the leadership of their union. And before they're able to make any kind of stand against the owners and these agents, it was great that they brought it to the forefront, but it still doesn't change the fact that their players voted for this system. And until they're able to change that again in 2021, it's going to remain the same. So like I said, the players have themselves to blame for the situation they're in. I was appalled at the fact that they did not fight harder for some of the things I just mentioned, especially after when you saw guys like Howie Kendrick, who were coming off a really good season and a really good career, but weren't getting any offers and had to come back to the Dodgers for the mere fact that there was a draft pick attached to him. Sandy Alderson, the GM of the Mets, basically said as much, that there is no interest in Mike Moustakas from their end because the penalty of signing a guy that has a qualifying offer attached to him, in particular in this case Mike Moustakas, the penalty would be way too severe for a team that's still trying to compete and also try to rebuild their farm system. If the Mets sign Mike Moustakas, they would have to surrender their second highest draft pick and also $500,000 of their international signing bonus. Why would a team do that for a guy that's really not a superstar? He's a really good player, but he's not a superstar, and I don't blame the Mets for doing that. It's the player's fault that they're in this situation, and A.J. Ellis was on the MLB Network radio show on XM Radio, and he actually talked about how it's really the player's responsibility to be able to look in the mirror and realize that it's their own doing that they got in this position. And talking to some of the players today as well that I did, they feel the same way. And when you hear strike, there's no strike coming in spring training. That's what the agents would like you to believe, and it's somewhat of a threat, a veiled threat to the owners that, hey, we may use this, because really, that's their only leverage right now to threaten to strike. But talking to guys today, I don't get a sense players are going to strike in spring training because they have no basis to strike on. There is no collusion going on. The players box themselves in, and I guess to a certain extent it is collusion because I guess in some ways, if you want to say it's collusion, the owners are trying to reset the market and not give out long-term irresponsible contracts, which you as the fan have been screaming about for many years. Look at the Angels and Albert Pujols and a 10-year contract for a guy that could barely walk right now. That doesn't make sense. And I believe there's a happy medium where the players should get paid what they deserve and what their market value is, and still not, and from the owner's side of things, not give out irresponsible contracts. But here's AJ Ellis from yesterday talking about what the union has to do to try to get back on track here.
Well, I talk to my agent very regularly, and I think there's just a lot of contributing factors are why we're sitting where we are. And I think a lot of them have been very well documented by a lot of really talented baseball writers and commentators who have kind of laid out the case. But us as a union, we gotta keep up. There's a lot of really smart, very savvy men leading these billion-dollar businesses. And us as players, we got to get educated and we got to get smarter, and we got to find a way to, level the playing field, remind, teams and owners of the value of having experience, the value of having players in there who can play with a low heartbeat, who understand what it feels like to be out there in the ninth inning in a big game, from a catcher standpoint, knowing how to navigate tough innings behind the plate. From a utility infielder standpoint, who can come in and play a Sunday day game against a tough pitcher and put four quality at bats up there. So, along with the superstar free agents that are out there, there's a whole cast of supplement and you know, back end of a 25-man roster type guys who can help push a team over the edge and make them a championship caliber team.
And what A.J. Ellis is saying is 100% true, and he's fighting for guys that have roles on teams like he does and utility guys like he was describing, because even if you sign the superstar player, how much more money will you have to spend on guys that are really good or just good or difference makers as far as guys that know how to win? You're not going to have too much of that left over if you're signing superstar players and wanting to stay underneath the luxury tax threshold. So that's what he's saying, and we saw this in the NBA too when there was that lockout strike in 99. You know, the middle-class players got basically the shaft. The Shaquille O'Neals, the Alonzo Mournings, the Kobe Bryants, they all got paid. But it was the mid-tier guys that are just better than good, guys like Rick Fox at the time, did not get their market value. And that's what's going to happen in baseball, especially next year with so many elite players on the open market like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and the rest. How are these other guys, maybe like even a guy like Brian Dozier, is he going to get paid what he deserves? Probably not. And even, you know, where this is going to come to a head is next offseason, when guys like Bryce Harper are not getting paid what he thought he was going to get paid. And then the alarm bells will go off in the union. Right now, the players on the open market right now are not as elite as they will be next year. And even that's part of the issue, too, of why the market's not moving. But forget about the Dodgers. Forget about the Yankees. Forget about the Cubs. There's only about three or four teams that always flirt with the luxury tax threshold. How about some of these teams that have a payroll of $80 million? Talking about the A's, the Marlins, and the Pirates. I mean, come on, $80 million? You're telling me you can't use any of these free agents on the open market? It's ridiculous. And I'm not saying you should feel bad for the players like Petros was trying to put words in my mouth about. There's nothing to feel bad about. But the fact is, just like in your job, you want to get paid fair market value. And the players want to get paid fair market value. And the sport is generating $10 billion in revenue. And as that goes up, the percentage that the players get should go up as well. And that's certainly not happening right now. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, your phone calls and thoughts on what's going on right now in this winter. It's not really fun for you, the fans, either. The hot stove is turned off on AM570 LA Sports. Nissan Dodger Talk, David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight here on AM570 LA Sports. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'll let you know when I believe Chase Utley will sign with the Dodgers. And at 7:40, we'll hear from the creator of Mims bands, those wristbands with the player likeness on it. James Mims will join us. There's a good autograph show going on tomorrow at Frank & Sons with Dusty Baker, Eric Davis, and Howie Kendrick. And how can I forget the great Kenny Landreau, who caught the final ball in Yankee Stadium in 1981 for the 81 championship. So all four of those guys are going to be out there. Five of those guys are going to be out there at Frank & Sons from 11 to 1. Let's go out to Gardena. Manny, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up?
The count of Camelback. Hey, I wanted to get my streak going, man. Thanks for calling me the Cal Ripken of Dodger Talk. I wear that badge with honor, and the new streak starts tonight.
All right.
Hey, as far as the collusion, man, cry me an effing river, MLB. You guys made your bed, you lie in it. Just like any other industry, the market will relinquish whatever is deserved or whatever was bargained for. In this case, they screwed up in their bargaining. Thank Tony the Tiger Clark. He was probably munching too many Frosted Flakes when that labor union agreement came around.
Yeah, the players had their priorities completely upside down during that last negotiation. It's not only just Tony Clark, but some of these players. I mean, they were so concerned about things that are so frivolous and petty, like having an extra bus seat on the buses in spring training, worried about the food in the clubhouse, worrying about getting extra days off during the regular season, while all the while they're distracted with that, and Major League Baseball is saying, great, we'll keep that qualifying offer in there, great, we'll keep the luxury tax threshold in there, no problem. And meanwhile, they basically shot themselves in the foot and are starting to realize what they did, and there's nothing they can do about it until 2021 when the CBA expires. Let's go out to Sierra Madre. Josh, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Dave. Thank you for taking my call. You've been fantastic to listen to, and you have been spot on this whole offseason, the whole free agent thing. And I want to give you a little perspective for my head, because I'm a paralegal at an employment firm, and it's part of my job to go over collective bargaining agreements. So believe me, I know what a bad CBA can do to an organization. Every time I read pieces of the CBA, I just shake my head and just wonder, what the heck am I reading? I mean, and I think here's the way I see it. I think both sides went into the meeting because they wanted to keep the peace that the labor peace that baseball has had since they struck that last-minute deal in 2002. But what happened was Tony Clark did not really go to bat for his players. He did not think about things like the qualifying offer, which I think has been one of the dumbest things about free agency in a long time, because that's not free agency. Look at Jake Arrieta. You know, you can argue whether or not Jake Arrieta is worth, you know, $100 million or whatnot, but if he doesn't go back to the Cubs, where is he going to go to? Do you see teams giving up draft picks and giving up slot money along with $100 million to sign Jake Arrieta? I don't. This is a joke of the CBA, and I think the next time that the CBA is up, I think there's going to be a strike. I really believe that.
Yeah, it's looking that way, Josh, because it's going to be very tough to get back what they've already conceded. And I'm glad you brought up Jake Arrieta. Thanks for the phone call. Talking to the players I did this afternoon, the word around players in baseball right now is that not one single team has made one single offer to Jake Arrieta. And he does have that qualifying offer attached to him, but he's one of the top 10 pitchers in the National League and maybe in Major League Baseball, and no team is offering him a contract. That's part of the reason why everybody is so frustrated and upset. I mean, you don't have to break the bank, but for a guy like Jake Arrieta to have the word around players saying that he hasn't received one offer, and we're, what, 12 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, that's ludicrous. Now, Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic tweeted out something really, really interesting and eye-opening. You look at the top five teams that have the lowest payrolls. The A's are at $81 million, the Phillies at $84 million, the White Sox at $85 million, and you have the Padres and Tampa Bay Rays around $99 million. You're telling me one of those five teams can't use some of these free agents that are on the board? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I know the A's have a few young players that now are starting to really blossom, and they might be competitive with them, but wouldn't you want to add some veteran leadership and veteran presence around those young players? And the Phillies have been tanking for the last 3 years. How long are they going to continue to go this route? And the Padres, we know they're the Padres, and the Rays have been the same Rays. So where is this great plan that Bud Selig and Rob Manfred came up with this revenue sharing, where money has been taken away from your Dodgers with what you generate for the team and being given to these small market teams outside of Philadelphia? I'm not sure if the White Sox fall into that category, but the fact is these teams are pocketing money. Where is the revenue sharing that baseball professed to us after the last labor lockout would help competitive balance? Where is that? Where are these small market teams putting it back into their payroll and putting it back onto the major league roster? We know the Pirates weren't doing that for a long time. We certainly knew the Marlins were not doing that for a long time. So this great plan that Bud Selig and Rob Manfred had has completely not worked. And it was basically baloney. It's not happening. Plus, keep in mind, too, this offseason, every major league team, big market, small market, every one of them got each a $50 million check from MajorLeagueBaseball.com because the technology they use to stream video and how they've been in the forefront of doing that, it was such a great technology that even Disney wanted it and bought it. and which netted Major League Baseball teams each $50 million. So where is that being spent? It certainly hasn't been spent back into their Major League payroll, and that's what the problem is right now. Let's go out to Pasadena. Mark, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
It's going great.
Fantastic. I'm so mad at you. You blame the players for this bad CBA that went down.
Yeah.
The thing that I hate is that the little guy isn't saying, hey, let me get sushi in the clubhouse. These guys are scratching for a living. It's all the rich guys that are saying, oh, we've got what we want. Let me get some sushi in the clubhouse. You know, the little guy doesn't get hurt at the CBA. It's just the rich guys that gets hurt. So if the rich guys made all this apex come to fruition in baseball, it's the rich guy's fault, not the little guy. The little guy just wants to play and make a little more money.
And you know that for a fact. You were in those meetings, right, Mark? Every team has a player rep.
But everybody knows the little guy doesn't get hurt. When they go to the CBA, it's just the rich guys that have the voice.
Well, when you talk about when you talk about the little guy, you're talking about guys with little or no service time. A guy like Cody Bellinger is not going to have as big of a voice as Clayton Kershaw because he's been around since 2008, has nothing to do with salary. It has a lot to do with service time, and that's kind of the pecking order. But I will say this, every player has a player rep. And they could let their voices be heard, and they had meetings in spring training, and you could let your voice be heard. And obviously, the majority of the players, whether you want to say a lot of service time, a lot of payroll, had their eye on completely different things that made no sense.
The little guy's not heard in baseball. I'm out. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Let's go out to Simi Valley. Todd, you're on with David Vasse. What's up, Todd?
David, long, you know, when I was calling in tonight, the two things I was going to bring up, you kicked the show off with. I wanted to know, when you said Chase Elliott's coming back, that means a lot. You know, I know his, you know, offensive abilities have really, you know, over the years, he's like 40 and his defense is still kind of there, but that handsome grit that he brings that, sets the tone for Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager is, you know, you can't really pay for that. So when's that going to come to fruition?
All right, I was going to use that for the bottom of the hour, Todd, but I'll fill you in what my opinion is and my educated guess is. On Valentine's Day, that is the first day teams can place players on the 60-day DL to free up room on the 40-man roster. So I think the Dodgers are just waiting for that day to be able to make some room on the 40-man to sign Utley and put him on the 40-man roster. Will it happen exactly on Valentine's Day? I don't know that. I don't even know if it's going to happen a day or two after that, but it kind of smells like he is coming back since he's been working out at Dodger Stadium virtually every day. And a guy that is a free agent usually doesn't do that unless he believes he's coming back. And they're being smart about it. And that's my opinion. I think it's going to happen the first or thereafter the days the Dodgers can free up some room on their 40-man roster by placing a couple of guys on the 60-day DL. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Ventura. Justin, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Justin.
Hey, David. I just had a quick thing. You know, I think that baseball and other professional sports leagues, I think it would be better for the sport in the long run and for sports in general in, you know, in our country if they were run like soccer is in Europe, where you can spend as much money as you want or don't want on a team. Somebody can come in, they can buy a terrible franchise, put a ton of money into it, you know, make it a winner and make it attractive to the people who live in that city. And there are no caps, no revenue sharing, you know, just free market competition. And if somebody wants to make a team better, they invest in the team and they make it better and they make themselves money by doing that. I think that
it sounds like what the Dodgers owners did when they took over, when the franchise was at rock bottom. They did exactly what you're talking about.
Right. And now they're being limited because of all these different rules and they can't do what they want to do to bring a championship to L.A. because they have to, you know, play by these ridiculous, in my opinion, rules. And, you know, a Miami franchise, if some really rich guy wants to come in, buy the team, invest a ton of money into it, do you think that people aren't going to come to the ballpark? Of course they are. So take all these rules away, let people do what they want to do, and make the product on the field attractive to fans.
Hey, Justin, you know what's so ironic about what you just said? Frank McCourt actually bought a soccer team in France.
How are they doing? I have no idea.
Actually, they want him to sell the team, too. They're in uproar how he hasn't actually put the money into the team.
He's a terrible operator.
Yeah.
He's a terrible owner, right?
Exactly. They've turned on him in France, Justin.
There's a team in Europe that got bought. They were in the lower division, and it's been, I think they've had like 3 years. Now they're like in the top division because
Sell hell, Justin, but appreciate the point you made. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Scott Boris, super agent, has chimed in tonight on Twitter. We'll let you know what he said. Plus, you'll hear from James Min, the creator of Mims Bands, and we'll take more of your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Dodger Talk, David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports. In case you missed any of the shows from earlier this week, you can podcast it at AM570LASports.com. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports as the Dodgers pitchers and catchers are just 11 days away from reporting to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Had a great time today before I came to the radio station talking to my old high school. First time I had been on campus since graduation day in 1994 at Notre Dame High School. And I want to say thanks to Chris Turkmany, Alicia Harkins-James, who allowed me to speak to their television broadcast class. And I had a great time. Took a very bad selfie with the class, too, at the Real _ DV. But it was great to be back there. Great to see the facility and how much it's changed since 1994. It's a lot different and a lot more fancier than it was when I went to school there, that's for sure. But thanks to Chris and Alicia and the kids there at Notre Dame High School for being so welcoming and having me come back there. And it was great to see the athletic director, Coach Kevin Rooney, who was the football coach when I went there, and now the athletic director. And also, even though he's a Giants fan, it was good to see Joe McNabb, track and field coach out there, who listens to the station a lot. So great to see all those guys out there at Notre Dame High School. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Bob Nightingale from USA Today just tweeted a quote from Scott Boris as far as the free agent freeze this winter. And this is what Scott had to say, quote, "The issue is competition. Losing is acceptable only if there is an effort to win. The difference between an accident and murder is intent." Well, that's kind of drastic. "Teams are intentionally murdering seasons, and fans are dying with it." Unquote from Scott Boris, as only he could say it. And he's exactly right. There is such a perfect storm of reasons why the hot stove has been turned off all winter long. Number one, like I said, the players shooting themselves in the foot with this lousy collective bargaining agreement that they agreed to last offseason. Number two, you have teams that don't want to go over the luxury tax, which is connected to that CBA. Number three, there are so many teams that are basically just giving up on the season. You look at the National League only, the National League West. You got the Giants who did try, who are trying to a certain extent, but they're boxed in. The Padres certainly are not trying with a payroll around $99 million. In the NL Central, you got the Pirates and Reds not really competing. And then in the NL East, you got the Mets, the Marlins, and the Phillies that are not really competing, and their payrolls reflect that. The Mets have a little bit higher payroll, but the fact is, the Marlins and the Phillies have two of the lowest payrolls in all of baseball, hovering around $80 million. And then you look at the American League. You got the Oakland A's, who never seem to be competing, even though they're pocketing tons of money from revenue sharing, plus with the technology from BAM that they're getting, $50 million check from them this season. And then you look at the White Sox in the Central. They're not competing. You look at the AL East, the Orioles are barely competing. The Rays are certainly not competing. So none of these teams are actually making an effort to get better. So all of those things are the reason why baseball is in a freeze this winter. And I'm not sure about you. I asked you this last night, and from a Dodger fan standpoint, it's great because it looks like they'll go to the World Series again because the competition is so poor and they have such great talent, and there's nothing to apologize for in that respect. If the other teams wanted to compete, they could. They have the freedom to do that. The Dodgers are going to waltz to another World Series unless there are a rash of injuries to this roster and there are unforeseen circumstances. The National League is so weak, and it's basically the Dodgers playing the role of the Harlem Globetrotters, and the rest of the teams are the Washington Generals. So basically, that's what you have this year. Let's go out to Florida, Richard. You're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Richard.
How you doing? I'm doing great. I've been a Dodger fan since 1954, and 2 weeks ago I was at the Dodger Fantasy Camp, and it's really an incredible experience. Any Dodger fan who has a chance, they should do it. You get treated like a major league player for 5.5-6 days, and you're surrounded with the former players, and I just it's an incredible experience. It's my second year doing it, and good Lord be willing, I'm going to be there next January.
All right, Richard. I'm glad you had a great time out there. A lot of great former players were participating in that camp at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, including guys like Steve Sachs, Ron Say, and Steve Garvey. So, yeah, it is a good time. And if you're a Dodger fan and you can make it out there, I strongly recommend the adult fantasy camp out there in Arizona. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute, but tomorrow is a very cool autograph show going on at Frank and Sons out there in the City of Industry. You got Dusty Baker, Howie Kendrick, Eric Davis, and Kenny Landreau signing autographs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the man that put it together is the originator and creator of the Mims Bands, and that's the one and only James Mims. What's up, James?
Hey, David, how are you?
Everything's great. Thanks for coming on the show. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, and if people want to buy their own Mims Bands that they see the players wearing today, they could go to MimsBands.com. It's spelled MimsBands.com. And tomorrow, it's a great autograph show with four of your guys that wore the wristbands that you created for them.
That is correct. And Dusty Baker was the very first one, so I'm really happy and honored that he's going to be there to kick off what we expect to be a great 2018.
So Dusty Baker was the originator of the high five, and now you're telling us he's the originator of the Mims Bands too?
Yeah, he's the originator of it. And that was back in 1986, and I've known Dusty since I was 10 or 11 years old. Jim Gilliam, the late Jim Gilliam, his son and I were best friends growing up, and that's how I met Dusty.
So how'd you come up with the idea for this, for the wristbands?
Well, I was sitting in the stacks at USC studying for finals and said that I didn't want to work for anyone, and I wore wristbands high school, Little League, college, and Dusty was always wearing them. So I said, man, I wonder what it would be like to put their autographs on us. And I said, no. I said, how about a picture? And I took it to him. He was playing with Oakland at the time, but he was still living in Calabasas. So I took it up to his home. He looked at it. He laughed. And he said, okay, I'll try it out. And I brought him another sample. And I drove down to Palm Springs. That's where they were playing the Angels then when he was with the A's. I showed it to him. He wore them. And he just kind of referred me to different guys. It kind of came to me just like that.
Wow, and it's taken off ever since, and it's kind of a staple now of a lot of players that wore it back then in the 80s and are still wearing it today. Who are some of your current players that wear the Mims Bands?
Currently, there's Brandon Phillips, Josh Harrison, Brandon Crawford, Chris Davis, Scooter Jeanette, Nolan Arenado, Troy Tulowitzki, Denard Span, Howie Kendrick, Dominic Smith, D. Gordon, Leonis Martin, Jose Ramirez, Brandon Guyer, Todd Frazier. The previous list is phenomenal. I mean, there were like seven Hall of Famers that previously wore them.
Who were the seven?
Reggie Jackson, Barry Larkin, Eddie Murray, Tim Raines, Andre Dawson, Tony Gwynn, and Frank Thomas.
That's not a bad team, James.
No, not a bad team at all.
You could get a good pickup game with those guys.
Yeah, you could. And some of the guys that were just stars that haven't made it to the Hall of Fame, and I put you know, quotes around that have not made it yet. Eric Davis, if he had not been hurt throughout his career, just running into walls, just playing hard, he definitely would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no doubt.
Daryl Strawberry wore them, Barry Bonds, Gary Sheffield, former Dodgers galore, Pedro Guerrero, Mike Sharperson, Mike Socha, Kenny Landro, Steve Sachs, Michael Davis, Franklin Stubbs, John Shelby, Lenny Harris.
James, do you think, why do you think guys wanted to wear them? Was it more about style, being cool, or what do you think happened there where it kind of exploded in the 80s? And do you think some of these current guys are wearing it because they saw some of their favorite players wearing them back in the 90s and 80s too?
That's a great question. And one of the responses a lot of the guys gave me when I showed it to them, it was truly a product that represented them. There's no other product out there that does that. So I truly was light years ahead of my time. I mean, think about it now, what everyone is trying to do. And in 1986, I had taken it to a level not even touched now. So it was really just a separation. Again, it represented themselves. And a lot of the guys who are wearing it now clearly remember their favorite players wearing it. And they felt honored to do it because I choose the guys. Not everyone wears it and not everyone has it. So that's the beauty of it. It's truly an exclusive club.
Yeah, and one thing that I mentioned when I was saying you were coming on the show is I always remember growing up, Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis were the two coolest cats playing baseball. They had their own style. They were the first two guys to wear high-top cleats playing baseball. And I distinctly remember seeing those Mims bands with their faces on it, and they had a lot of style. And those are the two guys that everybody wanted to be like, so I can understand why it was kind of it grew to where it's at right now.
Yes.
And
exactly right.
And if you want to get the Mims bands yourself, people can buy these favorite players' wristbands, right, James, at your website, mimsbands.com.
Yes, they can.
And I even have a Daryl Strawberry one, an Eric Davis one. Anybody that you mentioned, it's on your website, right?
Yes. Everyone that I mentioned is on the website.
And tomorrow you got Dusty Baker, Eric Davis, Howie Kendrick, and Kenny Landro signing autographs. Plus, they get a special gift, too, when they get one of those autographs, right?
That is correct. Every fan that comes and purchases an autograph will get a free Mims mask to go along with it.
So if I got a Dusty Baker autograph, I get a Dusty Baker wristband. If I get Eric Davis's autograph, do I get an Eric Davis wristband?
Yes, that's how it's going to work, and it's limited supply. So if those guys are not available, there still are some stellar guys who we're going to be giving away. But that's exactly how it works.
See, I have to explain things. I'm kind of slow, James, so you have to explain it to me so I understand things.
I understand.
Hey, James, I was talking about the Players Union and how a lot of players are starting to get a little restless with the leadership of the union, and the union has kind of come after you and your wristbands. Are you still in litigation with those guys? Are they still trying to shut down Mims bands, the Players Union?
No. Been working with Tony Clark, and just an unbelievable person. I had an opportunity to work with him directly. So within the next couple of days, we should have our deal finalized, and that truly is a thanks to him. He really stepped up after the article came out. He and I worked directly, worked through some things, and we're on the same page.
Well, at least you did one thing right, James. At least he came to make peace with you, because there's nothing that should stop the Mims bands from being worn by the players that want to wear them. And it's great to see the superstars like Chulowitzki and Arenado and Brandon Phillips still wear them today. So can't wait to see you out there tomorrow at Frank & Sons. MimsBands.com is where you could get it. The autograph show, Dusty, Eric Davis, Howie Kendrick, and Kenny Landro is from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. out there at the City of Industry, Frank & Sons. James, have a great night, and we'll see you soon out there.
I appreciate it, David. Thank you very much for having me on. You too. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. James Mims, one of the great guys out there, and obviously a guy that had the number one original thought of coming up with wristbands with the actual likeness of the player that wore them right on the wristband. And, yeah, Dusty Baker was the first one to wear it. And I remember, like I said, I remember Steve Sachs wearing it, Eddie Murray wearing it, Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis wearing it. So it's cool to see some of the players of today doing the same thing. And, yeah, the Players Union was trying to shut it down to try to stop James from having the players wear their own wristbands. And believe me, that's the last of the things they should be concerned about, especially with this collective bargaining agreement. And like I said, I don't know how they cannot look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, it's our fault we boxed ourselves in this way. And the biggest thing is, I know Scott Boras said it's a lack of competition. That's just part of it. The qualifying offer attached to a free agent doesn't really make it free agency, because a team still has to pay a very steep penalty now with the emphasis on draft picks in baseball. Why would somebody want to do that? And why would a team want to give up international spending money? So it's a combination of things of why really there's been little to no movement in Major League Baseball. A lot of teams basically tanking and not wanting to invest into the Major League payroll and trying to go the Cubs and Astros route. And also, too, what I mentioned, the qualifying offer and the luxury tax threshold. And at some point, the players union has to organize themselves between now and the next negotiating period and decide whether or not they want Tony Clark to be the head of their union. And I could tell you, a lot of the players don't want Tony Clark in charge after the deals that he's made with Major League Baseball. A lot of them view that he kind of just said yes to a lot of what baseball wanted. Yeah, he got these little petty things worked into the deal, but in the grand scheme of things, baseball doesn't care about that. That's a player thing. And they will more than gladly take giving players an extra seat on the bus, giving them a better quality of food and streamlining it through the organization, rather than worrying about a luxury tax or qualifying offers handed out to free agents. So the priorities for the players in their union were completely backwards, in my opinion, going into the CBA. Let's go out to Anaheim. Isabel always brightens the day up, so we don't have to talk about these labor stuff. What's up, Isabel?
Hey, David. Nice talking to you. Before I forget, keep me on hold because I need to talk to Ronnie. But anyway, listen, the labor, really, I blame both the players and, well, okay, let me put it this way. I can do a better job if I were a player, but I can do a better job.
I bet you could.
Tony Clark is doing.
I bet you could, Isabel. And
yeah,
it's depriving us, the fans, of what is really a great part of baseball season, which is the off-season hot stove. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. You could call back for Ronnie. Sorry, I didn't put her on hold. Sorry, Ronnie. She'll call back. Trust me. And love hearing Isabel. And, yes, I will mention to the players that I do have a replacement for Tony Clark, and it's Isabel from Anaheim that would fight for their rights. And like I said, are the players crying poor here? No. But they just want their equal share of the pie. And the fact is, baseball is a growing business that is generating close to $10 billion, if not more, of revenue. That's documented. And as the revenues go up and the owners are making more money, well, the percentage of the pie that the players get should go up as well. That's the way they feel, and it's very hard to disagree with. But the fact is, they had their chance to get more of the pie, and they chose to worry about food in the clubhouse, extra seats on a bus, and extra days off during the regular season. So, you know, I strongly recommend going to SI.com and reading what Tom Verducci had to say. He hit it right on the money. He's echoing everything that I'm saying and puts it down on paper or online, if you will, of what the players did wrong in the last negotiating session with Major League Baseball, and they only had themselves to blame. All right, that's enough labor talk. We're almost out of time here. I do want to remind you that, yes, it is only 11 days away for the Dodgers pitchers and catchers to report. And, yes, they will report. There is not going to be a strike, according to the players I spoke to. So you don't have to worry about that. That's all hysteria, all hype. And the pitchers and catchers will be there in Glendale, Arizona. The first full squad workout will be February 19th. And the first spring training game will be on February 23rd. So it's coming really fast. Baseball is coming really fast. And even though some of these players have lost a lot of leverage in the open market, as we get closer to camps opening and as camps open, this could work in the Dodgers' favor, where maybe they felt they would not be able to bring in a player because the price tag might be too high and staying underneath that luxury tax threshold. Well, maybe now, with the way leverage has been taken away from these players, some of these guys might sign one-year deals that could bring them to the Dodgers to help them strengthen whatever area that they feel they need help in as far as depth goes. And, yeah, I hate to say this, but the rich will get richer. And that's great for Dodger fans because the Dodgers are going to be in a very powerful position when opening day comes around. And, you know, it's the Pirates and Reds' prerogative not to compete. And the Dodgers want to compete, and they know this fan base demands competition and a good team, and that's what they've given you each of the last 5 years. Five consecutive NL West championships. You got the defending National League champions ready to go in 2018, and I don't see any reason why they won't repeat as National League champions. The only opposition in their way, again, is the Chicago Cubs, in my opinion. Thanks to Ronnie Fazio for his help. Thanks to Rudy Campos Jr., for his help as well. See, I remembered his last name tonight. Like I mentioned, you could podcast any Dodger talk at am570lasports.com. And our next Dodger talk show is next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We all know nobody in L.A. roots for Boston. So fly, Eagles, fly. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.